Sounds like more and more people in Connecticut may not be so confident in buying their next electric vehicle. AAA Northeast just released a survey, and it showed more than half of the drivers in this survey, 54% to be exact, feel safer operating a gas-powered car than an electric vehicle, while 31% say they'd be fine in either vehicle. But when it gets down to it, road trip logistics, cost, home charging, and really the biggest thing is avoiding fires. Those are the biggest issues people are finding when it comes to being confident with getting an electric vehicle. And I wanted to talk to our auto expert on the show. Paul Miller is here from Miller Nissan. He's also been in the industry for more than 60 years. He studies up on the markets and the trends. And for years, honestly, has been coming on the show saying that electric vehicles, that is the future. However, the future is not quite here today. And so he joins us back on the show. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you here, Paul. What were you surprised by the findings in this survey?
No, they were probably exactly what I thought. We were getting way out ahead of our skis on electric vehicles when the market wasn't ready for it. From all the things that you just mentioned, from home charging, from fires, from costs, from everything else, the market just wasn't ready to absorb the kind of numbers that the government wanted us to do at this time. It doesn't say, actually, it's going to happen, but we're still, I think, 4 to 5 years away before the EVs become a major player in the marketplace.
I will say what I found the most surprising, Paul, and this is from a news standpoint. I get it. The average person is not scouring the news or scouring the trends probably as much as somebody like you or even, again, as a journalist myself. But I was surprised that the number one problem for people is the fire. And the reason I say that is because it actually doesn't happen as frequently as maybe news will make it out to be. It happens. There's no question. I mean, we have these types of battery fires all the time, from cell phones to electronics being overcharged to scooters, obviously. But the electric bus, the electric vehicle type fires on the highways don't happen as much as news kind of portrays it to be. I mean, there is a fear because we don't have an effective way of putting out those fires. That's legitimate. But I'm surprised that that was the leading concern for people, because to me, logically, the biggest concern I have is the range and the fact that we just don't have the infrastructure in place to do a road trip, for example, and not know if there's a convenient place to always stop off and charge, but also the fact that it takes so long to charge that you've extended how long it takes to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm surprised, too, at that being the number one reason.
Me, too.
We have not heard the fires. We have not heard that much. But if a vehicle is involved with a fire, electric vehicle, it's almost impossible to put it out. It's very, very difficult. But I still think the biggest problem is the range, the expense, the inconvenience, and the unknown. So for a while, I think the marketplace is going to continue to resist. I can tell you that not only at our organization, but all the ones that I know of, since the subsidies have ended a month or a month and a half ago, the business is off 70%. So
wow.
Prior to that, when people, let's say people were buying 10 electric vehicles for every 100, now they're only buying one or two. So the marketplace has really, really decimated the desire for electric vehicles. And I think that equates to all models, whether they're European, Japanese, or American. People are resisting in big, big numbers buying because they're not getting the federal subsidy.
So from a market standpoint, Paul, the last time I had you on, I haven't had you on in a while, and that's my fault. That's pretty bad. Because I'm really curious about this. I think that you're really up on this, and you're constantly reading about it. You're checking trends outside of obviously Nissan. What are you finding? I think the last time I had you on, which was, I think, the beginning of the year, you had said that, you know, some major automakers were basically struggling to get these cars off the lots, and that they were actually going to start pulling kind of inventory because of this. They were seeing such a loss. What are you finding now, late 2025?
Oh, it's even escalated even more than that. some of the big players in this business, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, they all, when the last time we spoke earlier in the year, they all really upped their game to get into this because the government was mandating a corporate average fuel economy, the CAFE, of I think it was 50 miles per gallon for the whole corporate fleet by 2030. And to do that, they had to sell 40 to 50% of their cars electric. They could not meet that number. So they were all going to be fined billions and billions of dollars for not being able to meet the CAFE standard. Now that number has been softened so that the CAFE number is not going to be that stiff by 2030. So the electric vehicle will not play a big part in that. But also the other thing that will help the consumer is that the cost of vehicles now and going down will be going down because they don't have to put so many different features into the engine and into the transmission to meet that fuel economy. So the market's going to swing definitely back to regular internal combustion engines because that's what really what people want. I'm a very firm believer in the marketplace will always tell you what it wants. The auto industry or the government can't tell you what to buy or shouldn't tell you what to buy. The marketplace, the consumer will always go to the place, the option that best suits their needs. And that continues to be ICE vehicles, internal combustion engines. So I think for the next 2, 3, 4 years, electric vehicles are going to have a very, very tough road to hoe here. But I still believe 4 or 5 years down the road, there will be a need for electric vehicles in a bigger number. But that day is way off. As you know, everybody who's listening to your station, there's no place to charge your vehicles except on I-95 and a little bit on the Merritt Parkway. There is no structure in place to stop and charge your car.
Yeah, so yeah. Actually, Paul,
it's going to take a while.
Yeah, we had somebody call in and say that they'd have to pre-plan where they'd get off to charge.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they're going 4 or 5 miles off an exit and hoping that there's an open charging station. And I had asked, you know, on average, my understanding was that it was like 45 minutes to wait. And he's like, oh, it's more than that. It's longer than that, which is just wild to me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's wild to me.
I think the range anxiety still is very near the top, if not the number one.
I thought that would be the number one. I could tell you right now that is the number one reason I won't even consider electric.
Personally, I agree.
The amount of travel that we do just state to state from Connecticut to Massachusetts on a monthly basis, you couldn't pay me to get an electric vehicle, to then extend that trip, which is already over 2 hours, to now 3.5 hours, give or take. And no.
Right.
You couldn't pay me to do it. Nope. No subsidy would make me want to do it. We've got Paul Miller here at Miller Nissan. He's also been in the industry as an automaker for decades. And I love going to Paul and getting his take on this because he constantly is studying up and seeing what market trends are. And I think really comes from, you know, somebody on the ground who's seeing what's happening. And so I appreciate you, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Thank you. So AAA Northeast came out with a new survey. It talked to over 1,000 respondents and it kind of did like random sampling. It was AAA members ages 18 and up. And it was looking at people from Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island. So there you go. And some of the biggest takeaways, fire being the biggest safety concern, which I think is really interesting. But some of the other major barriers for people wanting to get an EV had to do with home charging, road trips, costs. And again, these are all things that Paul has kind of talked about. What I find interesting, Paul, is whenever I discuss electric vehicles with my listeners, what I would say the number one thing I always get pushback on is that we don't do enough focusing on hybrids. What's happening with hybrid models? Are you finding success with selling hybrids? Because I'd be way more on board with hybrids, and here's why. Because there's a backup. You know, so if my car is out of battery, I've got a backup. I'm good. I'm good to go in some regard. And I'm wondering if you're seeing popularity in hybrid models and why we don't focus more on that as a nation versus just we're going to go all in on EVs?
Well, I think that's what's changing right as we speak. Hybrids have always been there for the last several years, and they had a small percentage of the marketplace because everybody was focused on the total EV. But now that the EV is really not in play here, hybrids are coming on strong. Just about every manufacturer has some form of it. Some have quite a few different versions of it. So I think you'll see an uptrend. Excuse me. You'll see an uptrend in hybrids. But they also have some of their own problems because they require different servicing. They have more mechanical devices that can go wrong. But they are a good alternative, and I would consider it if I was a buyer. I would do my homework very carefully because it also has its own setbacks to a regular ICE internal combustion engine. Then it needs more service, it needs more discipline, it needs more understanding of how it works and so on and so forth. So it's coming on board now and will come on board probably stronger over the next year or two. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but the marketplace will always tell you what it wants. And again, not the government, not the automakers, not the news, the marketplace, which is the consumer, the person who decides today that we're going to go out and buy a car, they will decide which car best fits their needs. And hybrids will play a big part of that over the next, I'd say, 1 to 3 years. But again, the ICE vehicle will stay number one over the next 3-4 years as well until everybody understands the ramifications of hybrids / electric vehicles.
Hmm. Paul, are you getting any more clarity on prices to replace parts? I remember that was another issue. Dealerships didn't really have a good sense of if an electric vehicle needs to replace X. Well, we didn't really know what that was going to cost.
Well, if any electric vehicle and you have to replace the main battery, you're talking $10,000 to $15,000. That's catastrophic. We have seen a couple failures, and nobody knows the longevity. There's not many cars out there that have driven 100,000 or 150,000 electric miles. So the battery replacement thing is a big issue. So you have to be aware of that. You have to understand it, and you have to be cautious with it. And the other thing that's changing with the electric vehicle market is that the value of electric vehicles that have been traded in or being sold now at auction are only bringing about 50 cents on the dollar. So if you have a vehicle that you still owe $30,000 on and you want to sell it, you'd be hard-pressed to find a buyer more than $15,000 for it. So, again, you have to use caution what you do. And I think the best way, if you're going to, tiptoe into the electric vehicle or even hybrid market, I would lease the vehicle rather than own it. I don't know if you ever want to own it, because if you own it, you're going to probably own the problems that are going to come 3 or 4 years down the road. So leasing would be a biggest part of any purchase you make, whether it's an ICE engine, hybrid or electric vehicle. I think that's the better way to go. But the cost of replacing anything on an electric vehicle is probably 2 times what it is on a conventional vehicle.
Yeah. Well,
very, very expensive.
There you go.
Very expensive.
It makes sense why cost, again, is one of the top reasons why people are a little hesitant about going forward with an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
Paul Miller, I really appreciate getting your take, your insight, and I look forward to having you back on. Anytime we get these types of reports, I just think it's important to get your perspective on this. So I appreciate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure, anything I can do to let the public know what's the right way to go, that's what I would do for you. Sure.
Much appreciated. Paul Miller of Miller Nissan. Again, Paul is one of our auto experts here on the show. He's been in the industry for over 60 years, really studies up on it, and I think has great insight into what is really happening and can really tell us about market trends. And again, is there a future for electric vehicles? Paul says all the time, yeah, and the future is bright. It's exciting. But is the future right now? Doesn't sound like it. We'll continue to follow these studies, these surveys that are taken, and share that with you here on WICC. Thanks again, Paul.